You're listening to Giant Ear on Free 103.9. This is Andrew Williams of the New York Society for Acoustic Ecology. And this month's show is wind-powered works. We received works of wind from all over the world, whether it was a wind farm, making something move that's making a sound, or however people interpreted it, that's what was sent in, and we'll hear all of that coming up. First, we're going to play a work by Igneos, which is Wind Blowing in a Metallic Structure in France, April 29th, 2002, in Pomerens Pass, Pyrenees Mountains, and it is called Col de Pomerens. And after that, we're going to be playing more from sonicpostcards.org. And this Jana Phillips, she works with children recording sounds and listening to their environment around them, which really fits with the acoustic ecology theme perfectly. This is from the north coast of Scotland, and so windy there that trees don't grow there. And the first one's going to be called Herminus Wind, and the second one is the Shetland Isles. So coming up now, we will be playing Igneos, Col de Pomerens. Today's playlist can be found at www.nyacousticecology.org, and that's spelled acousticecology.org. Coming up, we are playing a piece by Dallas Simpson called Windscape with Abandonment. That is from Webster's Raft Gibraltar Point Nature Reserve, Skegness, off east coast of UK, 2003. And following that, we'll be playing a piece called Flagpole by Lasse Mark Rieck on Beach Isle of Amrum in Germany, 2005. ¶¶ So that last one was recorded with a microphone in the ground near a flagpole, probably a contact mic. Coming up, we're going to be playing some wind farms sounds from all over that were sent in, which are really interesting to compare. They're really different. First, we're going to play Wind Farm in Northern Germany by Michael Peters, then Wind Farm During Storm in Mojave Desert by Michael Peters, then Yolian Penghu by Yannick Dobby. It's a Taiwan wind farm in 2005.
Thank you.
though we'll be taking a little intermission from the wind sounds now to play an excerpt from a Maori welcoming ceremony sent in by Andrea Poli while she was in New Zealand, and it's called a poriri. And then we'll be playing Nicholas Collins giving a workshop on how to build a contact mic so you two can record anything. Here we go.
So I've just arrived at the marae of the Taranaki region of New Zealand. Marae is a Maori meeting house, and we're going to be going in and experiencing a pōwhiri ceremony, which is a ceremony that welcomes people onto the marae.
Pia re te rangi rungarae, pikita ngamarae. E tu kua tua nei te rau oro. Te aloha ki ngā mātua ki ngā tūpuna roto i te pau ore nei. Te ore e tū nei, te kaupapa o tēnei ore. Te ore wānanga o ngā mātua o ngā tūpuna. Nau mai, hara mai rā koutou. Hara mai ki ngā tūpuna e tūtū mai nei. Ora. Ki tōka waru.
Tauke.
O tauke, te api mana. Ui rebo ki ngi te rangi take. A Māui tiki tiki aorang. Ora. Māui tiki tiki a taro. Nau mai ara mai rā koutou me ngai tua kai rungai o koutou paki iwi. Ui a mai ki rungai ngā eitua o te maunga. He tū mai rā. Mui a mai o koutou hei tua, i ngā i tua, ki tangi i ai, he te maunana. Tauri ai te kapua pōuri, he tangi ki o tātou mate. Nō reira, ara mai, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou. Ara mai koutou i te kaupapa o te mātauranga, a mātauranga hei a koutou, ui a mai kirunga i te marae. O ia mai, ngā kupu kōrero, he iri ake nei, i te pakitara ore. I te tūā nui o te ore. O tira, e wakāri ari nei, te pau are nei, ngā huatanga o Taranaki. O reira me uri ake ki reira, Taranaki te maunga, pari nene i ki wai tōtara. Nā, a ki tiroi ki ngā iwi o rato o Taranaki. Mō kau ki tī toki ko Ngāti Tomo Tera. Tī toki ki te rau o te uia, Ngāti Mutunga Tera. Rau o te uia ki o nuku taipari, wakā hurangi o te ati awa tera. Rere wakauta, Ngāti Manu Tera. O kiake, ki onuku taipari, onuku taipari, ki raua, nā, Taranaki tēra, me ona kārangarangata. Raua, ki wai ngongoro, ngā rua ine tēra. Wai ngongoro, ki tā ngā hoe, nā, tā ngā hoe tēra. Tā ngā hoe, ki wenua kura, nā, ngā tirua ngai tēra, o te pakakoe. Wenua kura, wai tōtara, ta tūki te mutu awa wanga nui, o ngā rāngu tēra. Kauria te awa nui ki uta, ki ngā maunga e tū maira. Tō ngariro ngā uruwae, rua pehu te maunga kōre. Koe nei te rohe o ngā kāhui maunga e kōre ro ki ake nei, runga i tēne papapino. Kāhui mang. Nā kua uru katoa mai tātou. Ko tai mai nei koutou, nau mai, ara mai. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou. Arau te tino mō hio no wēaroa koutou. Engari no tua o te rangi, nau mai. No te moana nui a kiwa, nau mai. No ngā wenua o tua o te rangi, nau mai, ara mai. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou. Kia ora no tātou.
Yeah. Who here has never made a contact mic from a piezo disc? Oh. None of you went to the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. That obviously is the case. Piezo discs, those little cute brass things that drive us nutty, beeping in our microwave ovens and everything else like that. All right. They sometimes look, this is, my God, the biggest, most beautiful piezo disc I've ever seen for this project. But this is the other symmetrical electronic process that may stand at God's right hand, proving his existence. Piezoelectricity is like electromagnetism. If you take a crystal and you put a wire on two sides of it, two wires, one wire on each side, and you hook those wires up to a light bulb, and then you hit the crystal with a hammer, the light bulb will light. Don't take my word for it. Actions speak louder than words. This is a company that makes piezo materials. This is a bit of piezo material and a little light bulb. I don't know. No, of course you can't see it. When you go like this, the light bulb lights, and there's no battery in there. It's just the energy of hitting this that makes it go bing, bing, bing. All right, so later we can turn the lights out, right? And it works the other way around, which is that if you put a voltage into a crystal, it'll go, it'll stretch a bit. So it turns out that this, because it has no moving parts, no mechanical moving parts that have to be assembled, it's much cheaper to make than this, which has lots of different parts, right? So cheap is what it's all about, especially in mass production. And this is why these have replaced these in many, many situations where you don't need high fidelity speakers, where you just need to play back one pitch, beep, the salmon is done. Okay? As a result, you can buy these things very, very cheap. Surplus houses, Radio Shack, whatever. Now, what's nice is that they make very, very loud contact mics. And a contact mic is a microphone that doesn't pick up air vibrations, but picks up physical vibrations, like mechanically born vibrations. So, I'm clipping. I left my glasses at home, so I can't really see what I'm doing here. I'm clipping the two wires from the piezo disc to a little patch cord that's going to go into the mixer. If I could only see what I was doing. Just a moment. Bear with me. Listen to the table saw for a moment. What are they doing? Do I want to know? Are they trying to compete with me?
Dentistry.
They're not going to win.
Dentistry workshop.
Well, it's probably a better future job than... Okay, so here... All right, I've just hooked up this disc to the PA. And we have a contact mic. All right, bingo. That doesn't take much. Now, contact mics are great for picking up things that don't make very loud sounds acoustically. You know, for example, you can put it on an acoustic guitar and use it to pick up the resonating of the soundboard instead of, say, putting a pickup under the string. You can put it on any quiet acoustic instrument that vibrates. You can also put it on things that you suspect might be making sound. you know, various forms of machinery, toys that have motors inside, things like that. And you will hear these sounds. Unlike with the coil, these sounds are not completely inaudible. They're just very, very quiet, and we're making them louder. This is bringing us sounds that we could never hear under the best of circumstances unless we had copper wire installed in our heads. But there are nonetheless some surprises with contact mics. Now, I'm going to do the Julia Child thing. I don't know if any of you remember The French Chef, but it was the first cooking show on television. And what was so infuriating, if you were trying to learn French cuisine, is she'd show you the sort of cutting the head off the fish, and the next minute, the second fish that would have been prepped off stage was in the pan, like beautifully boned and everything else like that. I'm going to have to do the same thing just for purposes of time, and I'm going to plug in a contact mic that might not fall apart because it's been actually, dare I say it, soldered. It also has one of the great inventions of the millennia in it, Plasti-Dip. This is the stuff you put tool handles in to keep them from slipping. If you dip your contact mic in it, it improves the sound. It gets rid of that little peaky sound that it has, and it makes it waterproof, which raises a whole specter of possibilities. The contact mic becomes a hydrophone. You can listen to the bass, the trout, the mighty sturgeon on Lake Baikal. Though the one guy I know who went to Lake Baikal did not record sturgeon with it, but the breakup of the ice sheet on Lake Baikal. And that recording is in that book, he says, giving another plug for his product. The other recording that's in there using this is of a former student of mine who froze these in a block of ice in his freezer and then stuck it in his warm bathtub and recorded the melt, which for me is a very poignant, depressive male sound. Maybe most of you are too young to have had tragic love affairs, but there's a certain point in the life of a male where you are at the bar and you are staring at bad bourbon whiskey and listening to the sound of the bubbles come out of the ice cube because you're the last person in the bar. And the only other sound is that big broom going across. In any case, I wax too poetic. But, for example, the Slinky, once thought of as a toy for children, and then John Cage got a hold of it. This was one of his favorite sounds for doing cartridge music. And all right, for any of you who've ever kicked a Fender Twin Reverb by mistake, you will recognize that sound. But things don't have to be dramatic looking to sound cool. This little jobby here is one of those plastic things that comes in all your IKEA lamps to attach the electrical wire. You know, two wires come in here and you're supposed to screw the electrical terminals down on wire coming out. I'm going to clamp that to the contact mic. Screwed in here as if it were an old-fashioned phono cartridge, I have a few different objects. I have a Q-tip. I have a, here we go. I have a toothpick, and I have a loose guitar string, which I am trying to get untangled. This is why guitar strings are usually packed on guitars, because if they're straight and parallel, you don't get knots in them. All right, but in any case, here, sound of Q-tip. Sound of toothpick. But this, that's like a B string, you know? I mean, this is, it's not supposed to sound that low. What's wrong? All right. Ooh, if we had a subwoofer. Okay. So slack steel strings make amazing noises. And if your son is so thoughtless as to break one of the low strings on your piano, you will walk away $50 poorer, but you'll have this. I don't mind you breaking it. So, the other thing that you might discover from this is that heat and cold do wonderful things to different materials. And there's an artist, we might call him the king of the contact mic, maybe both spelled with a K, Richard Lehrman, who is in Phoenix, Arizona. He teaches there. He has a very beautiful piece where he's soldered to this brass material, the contact mic, short bits of guitar string, just the steel ones, not the wrapped ones, just like they look like little whiskers. It makes it look sort of like a 360-degree catfish, all right? And what he does is he takes a small blowtorch and he passes the blowtorch over the ends of the wires. And the wires, although they're only, you know, 5 inches long, make these deep, deep, bowed sounds, like a cello. The jet of hot gas bows it. Basically, it's like a cross between a bowing sound and a blowing sound. You have to wonder why in English they're so close. It's because of Richard. In any case, and then when he pulls the torch away, they cool. And when they cool, they contract irregularly. So that periodically you get this wham of a snap in the metal as, you know, it snaps when it cools. And then it makes a beautiful gong-like sound. So you have bowing, blowing, and gonging, all right, for want of a better term. So, for those poor unfortunates of you who have never indulged in the making of contact mics, you owe it to yourself to take one of these, all right, and solder it up. Now, what we're going to do when this ends is the PA will be available and this cute little amp will be available, and you can test the whole thing by just putting a couple of clip leads between this and a plug. And you can tell yourself, yes, I can. I can make a contact mic. And then you can go home and do the agonizing thing of actually soldering it to a nice piece of shielded cable and a plug to go into whatever you have. All right? There's only really one thing, two things to remember about making a contact mic. All right? There usually are two wires coming off the thing. Usually they're sensibly colors like red and black. The wire that goes to the big brass part goes to the shield of your shielded cable. And you really have to use shielded cable. Like, take an old guitar cord, cut off one plug, solder the black to the shieldy part, solder the red to the center part. And that keeps your hum down to a minimum. Okay, so use shielded cable and make the black go to the shield and the red go to the center. I know I'm talking down to you, but just in case, that's it. And this is also the third plug. If you forget that, buy the book. It's in the book. The other thing is that they are what are called high impedance devices. They tend to pick up hum anyway. So if you put like a 50-foot cable on it, you're going to hear a fair amount of Lamont Young coming through. You know, keep it just as long as you need. Actually, it's just like a guitar pickup. For those of you who are guitarists, you know that like a 50-foot guitar pickup is just asking for trouble. Unless you're in Sonic Youth. So, those are contact mics. And I'm going to show one more listening device before we break and make things. And that is the tape head. Now, the tape head is getting to be rather anachronistic because nobody even has an answering machine anymore that uses a cassette. There was a time when I would bet my students that they could come to school the next day and everyone have a tape head in her or his hand without spending any money, because it was the time of the great leap forward. And on every street corner, you would find answering machines being thrown out. Sometimes, by the way, with rather incriminating tape still inside. But in any case, you can always find one somewhere. You can always go to the last remaining electronics shop on Canal Street.
Next, we have two works by Johnny Farrow. The first one is SSC Port, the Peking Squeak, and that's from July 19th, 2006, the South Street Seaport, New York City, and he was recording a squeaky gangplank, and he was discovering the real history behind the seaport. That's not really, it's not just malls. And then, after that, we have Johnny Farrow's piece called The Smell of a Glacier, and that is the sounds of north winds blowing to his apartment in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. Following that, we have the Beige Channel with Windy Door.
Thank you.
So if you missed attending Spectral Garden this weekend at the Wave Farm, I'm going to be playing Matthew Berntner's work, Radio Wind, and it uses the physical wind outdoors to drive an algorithmic text processor transmitted through the radio waves. What he does is he blows the text through the trees using 6 channels of sound, transmitted through radio transceivers across the grounds. So that was yesterday at the Wave Farm, and this is what you would have heard.
Move, 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 move move frame.
So we're about to play a piece called Pinwheel by Katie Gately. It is the last part of a soundtrack to a play about a town abandoning the concept of construction and embracing wind energy. The ending 15 minutes are the sounds of the first industrial-grade wind turbine purchased by a college, her beloved Carleton College. And she mentions how wind energy is saving 1,200 acres of forest a year or better, feeding 700 households with energy. And closing the show, we have Dallas Simpson with Isles of Sicily, and it's St. Agnes Wind on Rocks. It's a binaural recording, so keep your headphones on. And closing, we'll have Windstorm Lamble e Dumble. It's a recording during a snowstorm on February 19th, 1996, while Dallas Simpson was nestled in a valley. Thanks for listening to Giant Ear, and I hope you tune in next month.
sworn that was a lightning flash. Surely not with a snowstorm. back. Oh dear, it's been amazing.